You've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. Just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. My name is Matt. That's Mark. What's up, man?
Hey, you know, I just came in the house. It's hot and humid here, and just had an epic family badminton game. My son and I defeated my wife and daughter in a vicious best 2 out of 3, and it went the limit tonight. I'm a little tired. Forgive me if I speak a little oddly or something.
So you had a big throwdown at Steel Dad Steeler Fortress of Steeler Tune, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, we've been doing this all summer. I don't know why. We've just been hooked on badminton for some reason, and my backyard now looks a lot like stadium court at Wimbledon. It's got grass right in the middle where the net would be, and then on each end it's all dirt. So I don't have as much mowing. I guess that's a good thing.
Also, I guess it's like Heinz Field in December, right?
Exactly, Matt. you would be correct. Sans the mud. If we get any heavy rain or something, then it would be identical. But at this point, no, we're just talking dirt.
I'm sitting here as we speak doing this podcast hoping that my power will come back on. I'm sitting here with all things of partial power. I have a partial power outage. So thank goodness the modem doesn't take much, but I'm running on laptop battery now, so assuming I don't lose power, we can finish this out. So if I drop, you know why, and you can just finish it off. We'll just go with that.
Yeah, sounds good, and we'll let's go ahead and get right into it, Matt, since we are facing that potential situation.
So we will jump into the Steelers' second preseason game against the Redskins last night. They dropped to 24-13. They are now 0-2 in the preseason. Not the end of the world, but if you are on Twitter or probably Facebook as well, or any of the various message boards, or if you're watching the Steel City Blitz blog, cough, cough, you would have noticed the Steeler Nation is in rare form, and you would think it was midseason with how bad it was. I mean, granted, it was ugly. It was not a good game, but it is only preseason. 0-2 in preseason does not mean anything, but there is stuff that definitely needs to be worked on.
Yeah, there is, and it starts up front. You know, I fought last week against the Giants, who have a good defensive line, not great. They've been better in the past. I thought we did some good things. I thought the zone blocking scheme looked like it was on its way to being something to really be impressed with. And you know, there were even moments last night where it looked decent a couple of times, but I think the big issue is pass protection, and I've been waiting all day, and I don't know that I should say this, but I'm going to say it. I almost wonder if Ben Roethlisberger is not to the point where he's almost gun-shy. I have never seen him swiveling his head around so much, not just side to side, but behind him. I mean, there were two or three times, and I believe it was Kerrigan, and rightfully so. He just kicked the crap out of us last night.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he was constantly looking behind him, and granted, Ben still played, you know, pretty darn well. He went 5 of 6. He had the one really bad interception. I mean, he telegraphed it, and he knew it, and Kerrigan made a great play on it. But our offensive line is not where it needs to be, and I know I talked to Pete Prisco today from CBS and on Twitter, and he said, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. They'll be better, and, you know, I'd like to take his word for it, but I don't see it, at least not right now. I mean, next week, that crucial third preseason game where most of your starters are going to get, you know, at least three quarters in most cases. I mean, we need to see something because right now I'm very concerned, let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely wasn't good. The pass protection last night was atrocious. Gilbert and Adams on the tackles were just bad. I mean, Adams was getting run back into Ben. Pouncey did not have a good night at all. DeCastro even got owned a few times. I saw him get pushed out of the way. on the sack on Banner. Or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't a sack, but he was run down like the line of scrimmage, so technically it wasn't a sack. But I saw DeCastro run his man back and then just let go, and the guy went right by him and then took Ben down. So, yeah, pass protection is a huge issue right now. The offensive line, you know, I'm not worried about the run blocking. I mean, the zone blocking scheme is going to have its moments where it's going to sputter, but you can see it starting to come around a little bit. Dwyer had a decent night, 68 yards on the ground. But, you know, he was his usual inconsistent self. You know, he'd rush forward and then he'd run up and fall down again. Now, part of that, of course, was, you know, Kerrigan and his buddies rushing through the line, but the pass protection right now is just so bad. And I know it's only preseason, so you don't want to go jumping off bridges yet, but it's an area of concern. If it does not look better by the third preseason game, then, you know, maybe you want to start worrying a little bit, because they're not going to play much in the fourth preseason game, maybe a few series, maybe a quarter at the most. So next week, you know, this third game is where it's at. But yeah, Ben was, his head was on a swivel. He was running for his life. I couldn't blame him if he was gun shy. And of course, he'll never admit to that, because he's a tough guy and he's yep. Ben and all this and that. But yeah, I mean, I certainly couldn't blame him if he is. I mean, he's got young guys all over in front of him. His one lone veteran and Pouncey played terrible. Foster wasn't great. So yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about pass protection. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of, you know, anti-Haley stuff today, and of course then he had defenders as well, and you know, you and I both were ready to get rid of Bruce Arians, and there's no question about it. And I don't know that Todd Haley was your choice, and he certainly was not mine, but it is what it is. He's the guy that's there, and the offense that he's running is apparently what, you know, the Rooney family and Mike Tomlin want to run. And so that's what we have to deal with. That's what we have to analyze. And he can't, you know, those penalties are not on Todd Haley. I mean,
nope.
Again, for the second straight week, we saw decent plays, good executed plays that got first downs, I think two now in the red zone, that cost us an opportunity to be first and goal. And instead, we get backed up and we settle for field goals. You are not going to win in the NFL, and I don't care what offense you're running, If you're constantly making these types of penalties. And then, of course, you throw in a couple of the turnovers. You know, Dwyer had a fumble, and there was another one where Gradkowski was stripped of the ball. It was so scary how much last night resembled last season. I really felt like I was in some form of a twilight zone.
Yeah, it really was, and it was depressing to watch, because, I mean, we know there's going to be some issues. That these are young guys, they're going to have the growing pains. But the penalties, man, you just can't shoot yourself in the foot. And then the turnovers with Dwyer and, you know, Ben's just ridiculous interception, which, I mean, you know, it was just a bad throw. I mean, he turned around and looked right at, you know, right down the right side, and, you know, Kerrigan just jumped the route. But I'm not too worried about Ben in the sense that, I mean, we all know Ben can play. He'll do what he's got to do, but man, that line is just bad, and the backups looked even worse last night. Granted, they're all backups, but still, I mean, these are the guys who will be stepping in, because we know the Steelers line can't stay healthy for an entire season. So you're going to see guys like Guy Wimper and everybody else, you know, stepping in here. So yeah, I'm worried about it, but I'm not going to jump the ship just yet. Unless they really suck next week, then I'll start to be really concerned. As far as the receivers go, Manny Sanders played well. Wheaton had some nice catches. Brown had three grabs. So I think we'll be okay in the receiver department. That's just going to be a matter of them getting their timing down and Ben learning to play with these guys. So I'm not really worried about the receivers. Tight end scares me, because we are one injury away from a catastrophe right now. Because, I mean, if Paulson goes down, we are up to creek without a paddle, because there is just, like, very little experience behind him. You know, we have McCoy, who's a tough guy, but, you know, tight end is definitely a concern. Last I heard, I think they said Heath is probably not going to go on the pup list, but he's not expected to be back until probably after the bye week, which we probably expected, but that little bit of hope of them saying, oh, well, you know, we're not going to deactivate him or whatever, or excuse me, put him on the pup list right away, gave some people some hope, but I think it was false hope.
Well, yeah, and I think it changed. They're thinking it changed when Spaeth had his injury, because suddenly his was going to keep him out a lot longer than Heath, and so therefore I think they felt they had to probably just keep Heath active on the roster and give Spaeth the pup designation. But you know, going back to the receivers real quick, it's so scary because, you know, there were some great performances by receivers last night. You know, Wheaton did a good job. Sanders did. Brown had 3 catches for 35 yards. Derek Moy had a couple of nice catches, including the only offensive touchdown so far this season. but man, I'll tell you, I'm going to trump you one here, Matt. I think we are at an emergency state now with the tight ends.
We probably are.
You know, Paulson, he made a very nice catch. Ben made a typical Ben play, scrambled, looked downfield, and a beauty to Paulson down the sideline. But his blocking, it's just not NFL blocking. I mean, he cannot in line or straight up block a guy. And then last night, really, the Dwyer fumble, I was having flashbacks of that Mark Sanchez butt fumble because it looked like Paulson was coming in motion and just got driven right back into him and caused the fumble. So, I mean, he's a nice receiver. McCoy had a nice game receiving and making some plays with his feet. But I'll be absolutely shocked, Matt, if they don't try to get a veteran tight end in that maybe gets cut due to some salary cap stuff here in the next week or two. They need help there bad.
Yeah, some of the local media guys are speculating that once the roster cuts start to come in, the final cuts, the Steelers will likely try and grab a veteran guy who's got some experience. Because you're right, Paulson is a good receiving tight end. I think he's got potential. He's definitely bulked up this year. I mean, you can see in his size he's gotten bigger. But, yeah, his blocking is just not NFL caliber. He's nowhere near Heath, which we don't expect him to be. But he doesn't have the technique or the power to take on these linemen and hold that block long enough to get out of anybody's way. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would say if we're in crisis mode right now, I can agree with that. But if not, we are right on the cusp of it. So I'm just hoping that we get through these last couple of games without any more injuries because last night was pretty bad. On the injury front, of course, Haley made a concerted effort to run the ball in the first quarter. I mean, it was run, and they were trying to get Le'Veon Bell going. You know, he had a few nice runs here and there. He got stopped a lot, but then he got injured with the foot, left the game, never came back. Did you hear his update today? Because I was out of the loop at work today, so I couldn't check Twitter. Is there any update on him? I know he was having an MRI.
Okay, here's the update. Now, I'll tell you the source off air. I can't reveal this on air. I would be in big trouble. My source is contradicting a report by another Steelers blog, which shall remain nameless, that he was spotted at the UPMC walking without a boot, without a cast, without crutches. And my source is telling me that was not him. Now, the source is not saying what his condition is, but the source is saying, I know this sounds a lot like Deep Throat here, the source is saying that wasn't him. So I haven't heard. I would have to think if it's taken this long for anything to come out, then it's going to be positive. Because had it been bad, it would have come out. I know Dwyer was tweeting a little bit today. Somebody was riding his butt because he tweeted that he was getting a chance to play some Call of Duty, which, hey, these guys are human beings. They don't live football 24/7 the way we all think they should. And somebody had a problem that he wasn't working on his game at that time. So my gut feeling, Matt, is that it's okay. It's a sprain. I don't think he's going to see action next week. Will he the final week? I don't know. But I'm optimistic when I say that, too, but I'm going on some different kind of information here.
Yeah. I mean, I think if it was something really bad, somebody would have leaked something. So, yeah, I guess no news is good news. You know, maybe he doesn't play next week. I don't know. But he did give Dwyer a shot. Hopefully Stephen Talling will be back next week to play some because he had a good first preseason game. Tomlin said it wasn't too big of a deal. He just wasn't ready to go last night. So, no, he should be fine. But, I mean, you know, this will give Redmond and Dwyer a chance, you know, to just kind of, you know, see what they can make out of it. I mean, obviously, one of them is going to make the team, maybe both. But, you know, depending on how bad Bell is as far as being injury prone in his NFL career, which he wasn't really in college that I know of, so it might just be some bad luck right now, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, Steelers had some injuries last night. The Redskins had a lot of injuries. But, you know, before we switch to the defense, I just got to say, how sick were you to hear RG3's name called every 5 seconds on TV last night? Oh, my God. Every commercial was RG3 in his Gilligan's Island hat. RG3 throwing the ball. RG3 is laughing. RG3 is telling his story of when he was a kid. RG3 is lifting weights. Now he's doing pull-ups. Now he's doing push-ups. Now he's bragging about how awesome he is. I'm like, oh, my God, shut up.
It's a damn shame because he's a very likable guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a great athlete, obviously a great quarterback, but he's coming into his second year. And let's slow down, everybody. But you know what? This is ESPN, though, Matt. I mean, let's face it. They've lived and died with Tebow. They've lived and died with the A-Rod stuff, which has absolutely driven me crazy as well. It's flavor of the month stuff. And I will give them credit. I got to give them a little bit of credit. They did actually pay a little bit of attention to Roethlisberger on a few different particular packages that they had talking about, you know, his winning percentage, fourth all time among active quarterbacks, and they talked about, you know, why doesn't he get mentioned, and I thought Gruden did a great job explaining that. He said, well, people need to start watching the Steelers more. He'll get mentioned. You know, but I'm right with you. It got so old so fast. I'm so glad that I wasn't home to see the first half live. I flipped through it on the DVR, and it was like those old subliminal messages in the theaters back in the 50s, you know, where they would flash like the Coca-Cola and the popcorn real quick. It's yeah. Like everything I saw was RG3. You're absolutely right, and I hate it because it's nothing against him. Because he certainly doesn't ask for it, but still, it's way too much, way too much.
Yeah, it was a little overwhelming, and Twitter was going crazy. People were like, oh, my God, enough. And somebody said, what the hell is he wearing on his head and that crazy hat he had on? And, I mean, all I could think of was Gilligan's Island, dude. I was just laughing. But, I mean, he is a likable guy. He's a hell of a talent. Yep. He's a superb athlete. I mean, Dr. James Andrews has to be giddy on the sidelines watching him run after having other surgeries.
By the way, what are these guys going to do when Dr. James Andrews dies?
Oh, my God, I'm telling you, if he ever actually retires or when he passes away, the NFL is going to be in trouble because he works on everybody. He is the most famous doctor in sports.
There's no question. I mean, and he's been doing this for like 25, 30 years. It's like when this guy's gone, I think the league's just going to shrivel up.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I know. I mean, he's worked on Steelers players before. He is the best in the business. So, and, of course, RG3 is a hell of an athlete. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. But enough about him because we're rambling on about it. Over to the defense. Nothing real, super special. Pass rush was okay. Woodley got a sack. Jarvis Jones made a few more plays. World looked like crap. What else is new? There wasn't a whole lot to say about the defense, honestly. I mean, you know, obviously the backups played most of the time. I was more focused on this game, really, on the offense. The defensive line, it's going to sort itself out. Cam Hayward got some more chances to play. I'm going to look up his stats right now quick to see what tackles he had. As I'm scrolling down here, Shamarco Thomas had 6 tackles, so he had a good night.
Yeah, we were going to get to him.
Yeah, but I'm looking, where is Cam Hayward here? Okay, I'm looking on the stats on CBS, and I'm scrolling. Woodley with a sack. Timmons with one. Am I not seeing his name?
Yeah, he's not on the ESPN stats either.
Okay, so there's a defensive lineman, first round draft pick, with no tackles. No registered anythings. And I'm going to browse through here real quick and look for Ziggy Hood. Oh, okay, Ziggy Hood had 2 assists. Okay, so you have your defense, your starting defensive line with a grand total of 2 assists. Isn't that just amazing? So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, I mean, now these guys aren't going to register 10 tackles a game. Let's be fair, but, right. I mean, still, I mean, Cam Hayward, and I think it was Gruden who talked about him, too. I mean, the Steelers are waiting for this guy to emerge, and, you know, if nothing else, you know, preseason is a time to shine because he's playing against backups, and a first-round pick should be owning these guys, and he's just not.
Yeah, and you'll notice there's another name on the defensive line missing from the stat sheet, and that's Brett Kiesel. And again, you know, he played all of a quarter, but nevertheless, and again, as you mentioned, these our ends and nose tackles aren't necessarily stat guys anyway. But you'd like to see a little something out of some of these guys. I mean, I mean, even McClendon had got in on a couple of plays, you know.
And, yep, one you know, tackle from, yep, yeah, from and, McClendon.
Fangwapo, I mean, this guy, you know, 92, he came in, he's a decent guy, too. And even Te'amu, I thought, made a couple of nice plays.
Yep.
Getting guys down the line and holding up the blocking. So, you know, yeah, the defense, I mean, they had the one bad play by Ike. He got burned, and he did the absolutely correct thing, just grabbed the guy, and you know, pass interference is better than the touchdown. And then our man Will Gay got torched on a double move in the end zone. and all I could do was slap my head there. But, you know, overall, they played pretty decently. And you can't argue considering the number of guys that were in and out of there. But you did mention Shemarco. Man, you want to talk about a kid making his presence felt real fast.
Oh, yes. Yep.
He came up and unloaded on the Washington running back. I'm trying to think, was it Keelan Williams? And that kid was hurt.
Yep.
Fumbled the ball, and the Steelers recovered it. And, of course, didn't do anything with it. But, nevertheless... I mean, he ended up with 7 tackles or 4 solos and 3 assists and had another big hit on a running back as well. So if he can really pick up his coverage skills, you know, maybe he is a guy for the future. Because right now, man, he can flat out tattoo you.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he was drafted to be, you know, the next big safety. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know, Ryan Clark may not be back next year. You know, Troy Polamalu is pretty much of a China doll. It depends on how long he's going to last. So, you know, right now, I mean, Thomas can very well see the field a lot this year, depending on what happens. So, yeah, I love this kid. I think he's the future. And, you know, once he starts to figure out exactly what he's doing back there, I mean, right now, I mean, he will be something to watch. I tell you, Josh Victorian, the dude's making a name for himself. I mean, he's got a great shot at making this team right now. He had 3 tackles. You know, of course, Ike had a couple, and then he going down the line, everybody else had 2 tackles, 3 tackles. That was about it. So I think as far as starters go, I mean, you know, they probably played well enough that we, you know, wouldn't be giving them too much crap during the regular season, and they only played about a quarter-ish. You know, Ben gave up the touchdown, so that wasn't really on them other than, you know, the Ike. But hey, overall, I mean, you know, they're not going to show you all the crazy exotic blitzes and all that. But what I did see from the backups and even from the starters, when they did show some of the blitzes and, you know, crowding the line and the gaps, I mean, they just got completely owned by the Redskins offensive line. I mean, they were not getting much pressure at all, save for, you know, an intermittent, you know, somebody busting through the line. So, you know, I don't get too overly concerned with the defense simply because, you know, they're not going to tip their hand. You've got a lot of backups. You know, they're not really playing at full speed no matter what they tell you.
Well,
so, yeah.
He blitzed an awful lot in the A-gaps last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we know that's kind of his favorite spot to bring the pressure. But you're right. Washington did a pretty good job of handling that. And on the touchdown run that kind of sealed the game. It was the perfect play call. We had a blitz coming through the A gaps, and they bounced it outside the B gap, and boom, safety.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Everybody got sealed to one side, and he was gone. I mean, there was nobody there.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was pretty depressing. But, yeah, even overall, I'll tell you, I mean, defense, yeah, they were good. They weren't so good. It wasn't really anything a big deal. The offense was more of the question mark last night. But special teams had a couple of decent plays, had, you know, a couple nice returns. Still a few blunders here and there. But I tell you, Drew Butler better watch himself, dude, because Mormon's going to take that job if for no other reason than hang time and for directional kicking, which I think we talked a little bit about last week. I mean, Butler is no guarantee to make this team regardless of his, you know, the fact that he's young and has a strong leg. I mean, I think up through the third quarter, his average was like 31 yards and with a long of 52. So, which means that's telling you it's, you know, not exactly a great night. And now Steelers offense wasn't exactly moving the ball on all cylinders. So, yeah, I would not be surprised to see Butler not make this final cut unless something really changes.
Well, it did get kind of skewed last night because Butler ended up with 6 punts and he had the second half, which of course didn't do anything with the ball really. And first half was Mormon, who only had 2 punts. But they both had one inside the 20, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Everything that I'm seeing and reading and hearing, this might not be decided till the final week, and I know Mike Tomlin does not want to do that. I would think he wants to be able to have a punter in place by the end of the game Saturday, I would think. because you, that's just something you don't want to have to deal with. You got so many other positions you, you need to decide on who's what. But, you know, the return game, I think Dunn kind of separated himself a little bit.
Yeah.
He had two real nice punt returns, averaged over 18 yards on each one. And, you know, Wheaton, to be honest, he didn't really get a chance. He had to fair catch, I think, two or three of them. And then somebody missed a block, and he got stoned right after catching another one. So, yeah, I mean, the special teams was a little better. There's still some issues there, there's got to be improvement across the board. There's no doubt about it. There was stuff to be seriously concerned with on all three phases last night.
Yeah, there really was, and I mean, I think next week will be, the third preseason game is the litmus test, or whatever you want to call it, so this is where, you know, Tomlin will play these guys into the third quarter, depending on how it goes, maybe even the entire third quarter, so, you know, the third preseason game is not a time when rookies are really going to make or break the squad. That's going to be the last game, so, you know, next week, you know, we want to see the offense move the ball, no turnovers, no penalties, just, you know, get out there and do your job, but hopefully getting you know, Howling's back and, you know, having the offensive line with him yet another tough game to play together. You know, I'm just expecting these guys to play much better. I mean, I know, you know, we don't want to, you know, I keep saying that, you know, don't jump off the bridge yet, but, you know, I'm looking for them to really have a much better showing next week because they pretty much have to. I mean, Tomlin wasn't really too happy, obviously, throughout the game. You could see him just shaking his head on the fumbles and, you know, all the miscues. And I tell you, the one thing that I'm watching with this team, especially with Big Ben, I just, something tells me, and I can't put my finger on it, but Ben, it just isn't Ben right now, and I don't know if it's just because he's gun shy, and I know it's preseason, so, you know, don't everybody jump down my throat because all right. Ben's going to be fine, but something just seems to be a little bit weird with him to the point where, you know, like you said before, he's really got his head on a swivel more than usual. And, you know, even in preseason, I mean, Ben will stand tall in the pocket and he won't run until he has to. But in the first game and in the second game, he just does not look comfortable at all. And maybe that's just jitters with a young line. I don't know, dude, but that's, yeah.
You're right. And that's what I meant. I think mentally he's mentally tough. He's fine. I, you know, do I think he's gun shy? No. But do I think he's concerned? He damn well should be. I mean, I went back and watched those first couple drives several times, and I mean, when he was doing a five-step drop, when his plant foot was landing at the end of that drop, he was under pressure. And I don't understand what we do with our tackles in terms of why do we give so much ground. If we're going to do that, then force the defensive rusher to the outside. Instead, we let him just bull right through us. And then Ben's got to step up, and hey, if DeCastro, Pouncey, and Foster aren't doing the job, he's toast. And that was the case a couple times last night. So I my heart of hearts, I think Ben will be fine, but I think there's something to what you're saying. I you know, it's a young offensive line. He's going to say all the right things in public and in front of the media. But yeah, is he concerned? I would think he probably has to be to a certain extent.
Yeah. Would you rather have Gilbert back on the left side or Adams over there? Because quite frankly, I'm not confident in either one of them. Adams was just getting blown off the ball and walked right back into Ben's lap on multiple occasions last night.
I think after last night, it really doesn't matter. I know the Steelers wanted Adams on the right. They typically run a little harder to the right, as many teams do. That trend is dying a little bit now. But I don't think it matters because they both just give so much ground to the defensive pass rusher. It doesn't matter. And I'll tell you this too: don't be surprised if Kelvin Beachum gets a start at right tackle because I mean, can he really be any worse than Gilbert in pass protection? I don't think so.
Not right now. No. I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you know. I think. I mean, you want to have these top guys. I mean, you know, Adams and Gilbert were both high round draft picks. You know, there's going to be some growing pains right now, but I think, I mean, when you see these guys getting owned, you really, really, really miss Heath Miller so much because, I mean, no matter what side he's on, that line is shored up, you know, that side. I mean, if Heath Miller is working on an edge pass rusher. I mean, you know, he might as well be an extra tackle. He's that good of a blocker that I would put him up against anybody. And, you know, Paulson just not being that great of a blocker just exposes Adams and Gilbert even more. So, and, you know, but it is what it is. They lost. They're 0-2. It's not the end of the world, but there's things to be leery of. And, you know, honestly, I don't care if they finish the preseason 0-4. I mean, I don't really give a shit. But I really want to see them just look better next week, and then everything will be much better sitting with me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would just like to see an offensive drive. And quite frankly, and I'll probably regret saying this, but even one that marches down the field and just doesn't have penalties and doesn't have sacks, even if they have to settle for a field goal,
right,
I'd be okay with that just because they would be progressing in my mind. And I I'll tell you, that crowd, and you know, preseason crowds are a little different because sometimes it's not a full house and stuff, but if the penalties start happening to that offensive line, it's going to get ugly in there real fast. So I'm with you. I just want to see a little more polish to this team, this offensive line. And I'm superstitious. I always want to see at least one win in the preseason. I think there's only been one team that ever went 0-4 in the preseason and went to the Super Bowl. So I'm a little superstitious there, so I would like one W here in the last two games.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, a win just definitely, I mean, it raises your confidence. Even if you don't play well, you get a win. So, yeah, I mean, the red zone efficiency last night was terrible. Like you mentioned, the penalties and the miscues and all that. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, you're not going to really hone that in too much in the preseason because the starters just don't play that much. But red zone efficiency was a big problem last night. It wasn't the first game that, you know, they got the all of one offensive touchdown so far. But, you know, it is what it is. We will be back, you know, next week covering the third preseason game, and hopefully have a lot better things to say.
It would be nice. It would be very nice to be able to chat with you while you're having half of a power outage, and be able to talk a little bit about, you know, not even so much a win, but just a team that looks a lot better.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you never want to reserve or you know, judge them too much in preseason, but we'll see what happens. And I think that's pretty much it right now, unless you've got anything else.
Go ahead. Aren't the first cuts after next week? After the game? So we'll have that to talk about a little bit as well next week, because I don't think you'll see a lot of surprises in this first section of cuts, but you never know, and we'll cover it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the first round of cuts is usually the obvious guys, mostly backups, late round picks, guys you haven't really heard a whole lot about. But there's a lot of stiff competition in the secondary, especially, you know, to watch for, you know, the young receivers, you know, with Moy and whatnot, trying to make the team. So there's a lot of good players that, you know, just aren't going to make this team simply because of a numbers game. And, you know, just real quick before we go, when is Goodell going to raise the regular season limit to something higher than 53?
I don't know, and
I mean Gruden talked about it last night a little bit, but the commentators were talking about it in the first preseason game too. I mean, with the way injuries are now, you know, I mean, even adding like four or five more guys to the active roster on game day would just be a huge, huge thing. I mean, you know, you can carry, you know, eight or nine offensive linemen when you need to, carry that extra linebacker, carry that extra running back, because, you know, as we know with the Steelers, how many times over the last 3, 4, 5 years have we seen them with nobody else left to come in because of injuries? So, I mean, I think that's something it just kind of popped into my head when we were thinking about injuries. You know, I think this is something where Goodell really needs to address this, and the competition committee and the owners in the offseason. I mean, they have got to really seriously consider raising the active roster to something higher than the early 50s.
Well, I know it has been discussed, and, you know, obviously they're concerned about competitive disadvantages or having too many guys on the payroll kind of a thing at certain wage scales. You know, I don't know. I agree with you. I think the rule is I've always hated the NFL rule about the quarterbacks. You know, that if the third string guy went in, then one of your other two guys couldn't come back in. Now, I think they've changed that to kind of be a little more up to date with some of the Wildcat stuff and everything else. But it's always kind of bothered me the way they do some of that stuff. And I don't know. I would like to see it at the very least go up to 56 or 57. There's guys available. It's not like there's not. You know, and like you said, with all the injuries, it seems to be a matter of time before they do this. But I'll also say this: You know, Goodell's got his hands full.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, I think the guy means well. I really do. I just don't think he has a clue about how to go about it. I really don't. And I don't think he really listens to the fans. I think he's got the ear of the owners. He's got the ear of the investors, so to speak, and doesn't care. But that, you know, that's not so atypical. But, yeah, to answer your question, I think it needs to change as well.
Yeah, it does. And I tell you, for as much as you and I rag on Goodell, and God knows we do, I think in his heart of hearts, he wants to see the game succeed. And, I mean, obviously we all do, but the way he goes about it is just atrocious. And I tell you, that, you know, just before we close up, that personal foul last night, I'm assuming you saw it, excuse me. I can't even think of who the Redskins player was. I believe it was a secondary player.
Yeah.
That should not have been a personal foul. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, it looked ugly, but that's what this NFL has become. I mean, how many times have we seen James Harrison, try and lead with the shoulders and hit the chest, and the guy lowers his head out of just a knee-jerk reaction because he's human, and they go helmet to helmet, or they tap the helmet side of the helmets, and it's a penalty. And, you know, the Steeler fans on Twitter were screaming, oh, it's a personal foul. And I said it, honestly, I mean, by the letter of the law, it is a personal foul, but it shouldn't be. And that's what this NFL has become. It really has. And, you know, that's what cost Harrison so much money. That's what cost Ryan Clark so much money. These guys, you know, you just simply cannot lower your shoulder, try and hit the chest of a guy, and then you know, expect him to pull up within a split second when the receiver lowers his head.
And it's exactly what John Gruden said. He's absolutely right. How can you expect these guys to change this, what they're calling the hitting zone now, to change their line of targeting in a matter of really nanoseconds, I mean instantly, because the receiver, the ball carrier, whoever, is changing his body position all the time as the play is happening. It's just that one shouldn't have been called. If you're going to stick to the rule of the game, why in the hell wasn't London Fletcher flagged for going at Ben?
Yeah, exactly.
Ben tried to slide, his foot kind of got caught in the turf. And you know, and I know, if that's Tom Brady, if that's Peyton Manning, that flag was out before the quarterback was even up.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I hate to say that, but it's true.
Oh,
and
it's true.
Yeah, it is. And, it's something we have to live with. We've bitched and complained about it for several years now here on the show, and we will continue to, but it's here, and it's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. It's not going to change, but just something I noticed, and I immediately tweeted out, you know, that should not have been a penalty. And, you know, some people said yes, some people said no, but that's today's NFL for you. And, you know, it's not going to get any better, folks. We all know that. It's only going to get worse. But we don't have a whole lot more left because we pretty much covered everything, I think.
I think you are correct. We will have more next week, like we said, talk a little bit about the cuts that will be coming down after the Kansas City game. And yeah, hopefully we just have more positive stuff to talk about. Hopefully the line gels a little bit. You know, it's a short week. Hopefully there's maybe a little sense of emotional need. Got to get after it with a short timetable. So yeah, hopefully we have better stuff to talk about.
Right on. I'm hoping and praying that we do as well. But I think we will wrap it up now. So thanks for listening to the show. Definitely check out the SteelCityBlitz.com blog. The podcast is always available. We started using SoundCloud, so you can check us out on there. We got some new downloads loaded up on the homepage. Check those out. I got the updated schedule. Some, you know, just getting the site ready for the regular season. So stop by often. Mark posts up on Sulia every day, at least once, if not twice up there. I'm on there, so stop by, leave comments. We love talking about it. Leave us an email, we are happy to tweet back and forth or whatever. So we are a Steeler fan-friendly podcast, if nothing else.
Absolutely. Whether you agree or disagree, we'll talk back with you, and we'll give you our viewpoint, and we'll certainly accept yours, so by all means.
Absolutely. So with that, I think we'll wrap it up. So thanks for listening to The Blitz, presented by SteelCityBlitz.com.